years in Longleat House, the magnificent Wiltshire estate of the Marquess of Bath, shows us that Wolfe, only 26 and still 7 years away from publishing her first novel, reworked her draft of The Life of Violet in 1908 to perfect its three interrelated stories: Friendship's Gallery, The Magic Garden, and A Story to Make You Sleep. The newfound Longleat House typescript fills in a space we never knew was blank. Its refined stories marking Virginia Woolf's first fully realised literary experiment. These stories also reveal that the future author of Mrs. Dalloway and To the Lighthouse had a flair for slapstick comedy. No restrained wit or elegant ironies distinguish The Life of Violet. These pages are exuberantly, uproariously, the cook fell through the kitchen floor funny. The mock biographical tales in The Life of Violet are loosely, very loosely, inspired by Mary Violet Dickinson, 1865 to 1948, who was 37 in 1902 when she befriended 20-year-old Virginia. More than 6 feet tall, very wealthy and unmarried, Violet quickly became a fixture in the young writer's world, introducing her to a wide circle of aristocratic friends and serving, in part, as a composite of the mother and the older sister Virginia had recently lost. The two friends met regularly, exchanged voluminous letters, and travelled together. Violet served as Virginia's sounding board for matters private, public, and professional during years marked by trauma, as well as creative growth. Crucially, she was an insightful reader of Virginia's earliest writings and facilitated her first appearances in print in 1904. In 1907, Virginia concocted three interrelated stories as an inside joke for her friend, never intending to publish them. She invented an outsize heroine named Violet, who could defy governesses and gravity alike. She served up a barely disguised and merrily skewered supporting cast based on their mutual aristocratic friends. Amid flights of fancy, a snowfall of sugared almonds, laburnum trees that drop gold coins, bathtubs made of painted ostrich eggs, the stories brim with decidedly Wolfian subjects. History, women's education, the difference between fiction and biography. Above all, the stories are about laughter, especially women's laughter, a gorgeous phenomenon that loosens repressive conventions and serves as the binding element of utopian societies. And in Virginia's talented hands, these subjects become irresistible. How did I have the good fortune of rousing Woolf's typescript from its decades-long slumber in a Wiltshire manor house? Like all the best discoveries, this one happened entirely by accident. I had long ago read the three 1907 draft stories in the New York Public Library, NYPL, where they are catalogued in the world's largest collection of Virginia Woolf's papers as a single work called Friendship's Gallery. That title, incidentally, was Violet Dickinson's. Woolf never titled the entire work, referring to it informally as The Life. Charmingly typed in violet ink, the pages of this large leather-bound item bear handwritten corrections in pencil and ink by Virginia as well as by Violet. The stories have never been printed alongside Woolf's better-known short fictions, such as The Mark on the Wall, 1917, or Kew Gardens, 1919. Like most Woolf scholars, I regarded them as inconsequential early steps on Woolf's lifelong journey of biographical experiments. But in 2018, a chance email exchange revealed that the stories archived in the NYPL were not the only versions Woolf wrote, and that she took The Life of Violet more seriously than either biographers or literary critics have realised. In search of an unpublished memoir that Violet had written about Woolf's childhood, I had reached out to Longleat House, just outside of Bath, where a collection of Violet Dickinson's papers is housed. Longleat's response to my inquiry caught me off guard. Yes, the archivist affirmed, they owned Violet.